This is from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, first three verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing." Ran into a friend this week, and as you do when you run into friends, you say, "Well, how you doing?" And you expect, "Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?" "Just fine, too." And I said, "Well, how you doing?" And she said, "The Lord is in the blessing business." And I said, "How so?" Figuring the conversation would have been long over, but it went on for a little bit. Told me a story. She'd been to a church gathering, a thing in Lubbock, where representatives from different parts of many churches got together for a Bible study retreat, you know, that kind of a thing. And the day ended with a raffle. Someone had donated what turns out to be a pretty nice raffle prize. But the trick was you sort of had to be present to win. It was like getting you to stay for the whole thing. She needed to leave early, so she left. And they spun this raffle wheel of some kind, and her name came up. And somebody said, "Well, she left already, so she can't get it." And then they spun it again, and her name came up again. Somebody said, "Apparently, this shall be a sign unto us. I'll get it to her." And what it was a personal check made out to her for $500. The Lord was in the blessing business this week for her. My goodness. Well, apparently, the Lord's been in the blessing business for quite some time. Actually, since the beginning of what is technically the salvation history of the Judeo-Christian tradition. The Lord says, "Unto Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. I know you and your wife are having trouble having children, but trust me here, I'm in the blessing business. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing, so that the blessings continue in the lives and through the lives of those that are blessed." Well, I started thinking this week about where is the blessing business open for business for us? I think in some ways, and some of these are just overly obvious, the Lord is in the blessing business when he blesses us with opportunities. Opportunities not just to serve, but opportunities to learn how to be of service, to learn to be astute, to learn to analyze our situation, know what needs to be done, and know of what all those things are that we might be a part of. I learned this week something I had known in a variety of ways and keep relearning in some ways. The school I went to, the University of Wisconsin, again was on the list of Forbes' best 25 public universities. Number 11, I might add. I'm going, what a deal. It's my school. I learned a lot by going to that place. And how I got there was largely a matter of random chance. I happened to be born 90 miles away from where the school was in the top 25 then and now, and could go there for what is comparatively dirt cheap, get a very fine education, learn insight, learn not just what is, but how to think about what is. I was given that opportunity to develop some skills. I've tried to parlay that. I guess I'm still in college, so it must have worked to some extent. But that opportunity comes to all of us in a variety of ways. We've all been given the opportunity to learn from someone, whether it be a professional educator or someone in our family. We've been able to learn what we need to know to get us to the next level of opportunity and service. Some are very dramatic, some less so. The church I grew up in has a relationship with a medical clinic in Tanzania, in a desperately difficult part of the world, and our church does some fairly dramatic things from time to time. We actually send some folks from that church that are skilled healthcare providers over there to provide skilled healthcare for a week or two or three here and there. But much short of that, and much more pervasive, everybody in that church has the opportunity pretty much every week to bring an extra blanket, to bring some form of something that's useful in that way. And every week, virtually, prayers are extended on behalf of that little clinic in the middle of nowhere in a desperately difficult part of Tanzania. And the people that are there, you know, the clinic is run by a skilled nurse and other staff, but Even the peasants in the village roll bandages, sweep floors, and are given the opportunity to be of use. The Lord is in the blessing business, as the Lord gives to each of us, in ways that are unique to our skills, the opportunity to learn, to grow, to serve. So also, I think, the Lord is in the blessing business through insight. Suddenly things occur to us that need to, that give us a new way of thinking, that take us off dead center, that solve a problem for us, that move us beyond a crossroad. I don't think that happens by accident. Last night was Halloween, and we imagine, you know, ghosts, goblins, spirits of all types, and we don't much believe in them. Until we do, today is the Festival of All Saints, liturgically one of the highest days in the church year, where we commemorate, remember, celebrate, mourn all those who've gone before us, marked by the sign of faith. And if pushed, I think most of us would say, at least in some small way, we remain spiritually connected with the folks who have been for us the sources of that insight and opportunity. And from time to time, when we're stuck inside our own heads, and it's sort of like the hard drive is just spinning, looking for a place to land and where the executable program is, and suddenly we get an idea. Suddenly it stops and we move forward. I'm not entirely sure that people who have loved me and who have gone before me didn't make that stop and shoot that insight into my head. Sometimes our spiritual connection with those who've gone before us is whimsical. I remember shortly after my grandmother died, I was playing golf. I was playing just alone, thinking about, you know, the many times we'd played together. And I sunk this impossibly long putt, and nobody saw it. And I thought, that couldn't have been totally by accident, you know? I mean, whimsical. But there are other places and times where a flower or a bird or something inexplicably out of place, but right where you are, that had been a long time anchor or connection to someone who loved you, a grandparent, an ancestor of some sort. And you take it to mean we're still in touch. I think that any and all of those things, the insights that occur to us, the decisions we come to, and the ways in which we cope with some of the decisions we make that don't work out as well as we might have hoped, or that work out for a while and then don't. I've said many, many times about many facets of my life, we'll keep doing this until it stops working. And when it stops working, we'll figure something else out. That to me is almost like whistling in the dark, but it is a profession of faith that somehow the spirits will speak and I'll figure it out and we'll move forward. The Lord is in the blessing business with intuition and insight and sometimes a misplaced hummingbird here or there to let us know that there's more than we imagine. Opportunity and insight, and I think ultimately in a level of relentlessness, of not just the spirits in our lives, but the Holy Spirit itself. Holy Spirit gets short shrifted in most of our Christian conversation and theology. We have God the Father, we've got the Son, and then, oh, by the way, Jesus said, I won't leave you empty and desolate, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, which is an interesting image in and of itself, one who listens, one who moves us forward. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit that is pervasive and may be the source of all those little spiritual connections I just mentioned. But every once in a while I'm asked what is a sometimes frightening question if you're in the preaching business, much less the blessing business. What's the unforgivable sin, Pastor? And because I'm who I am, my initial response is all of them. I mean, in a sense, because they're all unforgivable until God decides on the basis of only God's love to forgive them all. Well, there is in the New Testament a phrase that says, anyone who sins against the Holy Spirit has committed the unforgivable sin. In other words, sinning against the Holy Spirit. I don't even know what that is. And there's a reason I don't know what it is. Going back to something I learned as a child, and I'm going to quote it using his words directly. Martin Luther, one of the reformers, wrote a book for children explaining things like the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed and so on. Remember, these are words intended for children. And he's explaining the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, and so on. Well, what does that mean? Martin Luther says this. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, even believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. In other words, I can't do any of this by myself. I can't even believe in Jesus by myself. But, he says, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. In other words, and to put it bluntly, it's the Holy Spirit's job to prevent us from sinning against the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't even know what it is. We only believe because the Spirit enlightens and inspires us. And that Spirit is relentless. It never gives up, because God is in the blessing business to that degree. And that becomes the source of insight and intuition and opportunity. The Holy Spirit prevents us from ultimate sin and moves us forward in the blessing business. On All Saints Day, I think of a lot of people. I think always of Giles McCrary, who many of you also probably think of on a day like today, just because he's a sort of dramatic presence in our lives. Dramatic, but no less or no more important than anybody else. But he blessed a lot of people and continues to do so with the foundation and all of that. But what I remember about him is how much he despised people picking lint off of his suit and giving him undue credit or deference. And I learned that early on, so I never did, or at least tried not to. In fact, I would sometimes do the opposite. I would say to him from time to time when he'd been in the paper or something, I would say, there's a vicious rumor you did a good thing. And he would go, ha, couldn't be. I said, well, that's what I thought. And then we would dial it back, and I would say that was pretty cool. And he would very quietly and inevitably say, only this, I've been very fortunate. He understood that he had been deeply blessed. Now, he had been deeply blessed in ways that are different and what many would say more dramatic than a lot of us, but no less categorically important was he very fortunate. And he understood that. He understood that he was blessed to be a blessing. And I thought of both him and that story when I decided to preach from Genesis chapter 12, because he used to ride me unmercifully about only using the back half of the book. So out of Genesis, we learn, and in memory of at least this one, that the Lord is in the blessing business, that he blesses us to be a blessing with opportunity, with insight, and the relentless care and protection of the Holy Spirit. The blessing business is at the center of who we continue to be.